Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Tuesday, the 14th of December. Hope you're all well. A lot happens in 24 hours, doesn't it? The UEFA draw, complete and utter fuck up for the old Champions League. Incredible, really. Just incredible how these things happen, that you can't draw 16 teams out of a hat and get it right. I actually agree. Somebody put it in the Telegram group yesterday that I don't get this. Teams can't play this and can't play. I honestly would. It's one of them. I often say to my boy, I'd love to be in the meeting. You know, right, Man United can't play Villarreal. Why? Because they played them in the group. And? What's gone? Well, and nothing. I haven't really got anything. Let's just do that. And can't have two teams from the same country. Why? Well, they're from the same country. And? It just, I've no idea. And you go and I actually try to look and find reasoning for it. And of course you can't. Other than some fucking imbeciles in a room with blazers on, got fuck all else to do. Put 16 names in a fucking bowl. Draw them out. That's it. And if you want to have seconds against first, put the eight second teams in one bowl and the eight first teams in another and draw them out so that winners of groups don't play winners of groups. Absolute nonsense. Absolute. I just don't get it. Yeah, just don't get it. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And then you end up with that farce yesterday where they didn't have a clue what was going on. And then what else have we got? Dominic Raab. There's 250 cases, then there's 10. Just another one. Complete and utter fucking imbecile. Whoever lives in his constituency and votes him in. There's just certain people, Raab, Rees-Mogg. I'd love to go and visit their constituencies and say, how do you vote for these fucking idiots? Absolute fucking morons, honestly. Really interesting. The more you read on this Omicron and things, I'm in danger of becoming a conspiracy theorist. I can't help but think that what's happened over the weekend is what I said last week, to shift the news. I just think that's the sort of guy he is. I do. Obviously, we've got to be careful and all these sort of things. I fully get that. You know, and people saying, oh, we should have spent money on the beds and hospital. We haven't got it. We can have that argument another time. We haven't spent it, so we haven't got the ICU beds. But when you read into the science of this Omicron variant, it does seem to be that we've created a panic in the media that's got him off the front pages. But there we go. Just my view, not going into it. What else have we got? I posted a good thread this morning on football finances as well. I follow that guy, Swiss Ramble, followed him for years, does it, clubs when they publish their figures and things. He's basically done one where, I don't know where he's got his source, that after the fan-led review and the recommendations from that on the Tracy Crouch report, that apparently Premier League clubs are pushing back against some of that. He sort of mentions that and then goes into the finances of the top two divisions. And it's just sad reading, really. The game has been let to get completely out of control. We're relying more and more on rich owners shoving money in and propping things up. 12 clubs running at over 100% wages to turnover ratio. Sheffield Wednesday, you know, 120%. Derby, 105%. It's no wonder these clubs are in trouble. Charlton, who've had their issues, 105%. Forest, 144%. Forest, Bristol City. You know, it's unsustainable. You can't keep it up. It is just absolutely staggering, you know. Operating losses in the Premier League and Championship in the last 10 years are $7 billion. Chelsea leading the way, Aston Villa, Everton, you know, just badly managed. You know, Spurs have a lot of debt but have shown a profit, but it's just unsustainable when you read it. And you know, it's even transfer market, transfer debt increased by 1.4 billion, you know, buying players on tick, basically. It's like having a big credit card. You know, and he sort of says in conclusion, there's absolutely nothing wrong with English football apart from huge losses, unsustainable wages, player purchases on credit and a massive dependency on owner funding. Nothing to see here. Please move on. No need for an independent regulator. But he's well worth a follow if that sort of stuff interests you. You know, obviously it's things, very little things we can do about it, but you do fear that it is unsustainable. Perhaps it needs a big crash, you know, and get some reality back to it. It's... I think, what is it, 28 billion in wages being paid to these players. And I've got, you know, it's a conversation I have a lot with people. I have no problem with people like Ronaldo earning fortunes. Absolutely no problem. The guy is a brand, like Beckham was. It is the likes of Harry Winks sitting there getting 80 grand a week when he can't pass the ball 15 yards. I just find it, the mediocre players on this ridiculous money. I think in everything, you know, movies, you get your top movie stars get fortunes, but they've got to work for it. And if their movie flops, you know, they don't get another movie. But these guys just keep getting paid week in, week out for being shit. Dele Alli, you know, the talk of him leaving Spurs in January, what, 150 grand a week? He's terrible. He's been, at that Champions League final that we went to, he was embarrassingly bad. You know, he's not been good for years, but he's still picking up that money and will do until 2024. It's just staggering. Anyway, that's the game. That's the game. Right, Andrew Marnell, listen up. We'll do FTS Advent at the end. I've got another losing bet to put on. But Andrew Marnell asked me, he sent me an email, I can't remember when, long time. This is how long it takes. Andrew, you see, and as you, Michael Wright, Chris Archer, Michael Hearn, if you're all listening, you learn that you send me an email in October and I'll get to it in December. But Andrew sent me an email, I'm going to get it up. Really good email. I like Andrew, good FTS member, good lad, always good company. Other than being a Liverpool supporter, I'll make allowances. he sent me this email. When did you send it to me? Yeah, 19th of October. There you are. I'm just going to answer it now. I did actually email him back and I said, I just need to think about it. But he sent me an email. I'd obviously done a pod. Can't remember which one. He put, good pod today. Would I do him a favour and answer the following questions? And I thought, I'll answer them publicly, Andrew. So the first question that he asked me, number one, when you started out in your current career... business, so obviously means football trading, what was the first book you read, why did you choose it, and what was the takeaway that helped you most? And the reason I wanted to think about it, because one, I had to remember back to 15 years, and two, I didn't think oh, I want to do that and read up on it. It sort of just became a evolution from football trading to make a bit of money to having enough money to not work. This, that, and the other. But when I was talking about giving up my job, I did sociology as an A level. I did math, sociology, law, and sports PE. It was the first year of PE A level. Did trampolini in that, which was one of the answers. We had to do four sports, I think: basketball, trampolini, football, and golf. I did, and trampolining, absolutely fucking terrible. I was petrified. It's absolutely, every time I got about 4 foot up off the air, off the mat thing, I was absolutely petrified. The guy next to me was superb at it, a guy called Simon. He was like a UK gymnast. Simon Ford, his name was. And he was doing twists and turns and pikes, and I was just like, ah! I don't even know why I picked it. It just seemed like something cool that I hadn't done. So I thought, I'll have a trampoline. What could be fun bouncing around on one of them? Absolutely hated it. Anyway, back to this. But I did sociology, and what I did do, and I've still got the book upstairs now. I've got my A-level sociology course book. And I'm a big thing into this. You know, it's, I suppose that I'm a great one into, are people born a certain way? And I don't tend to believe that. And people do fall into two camps. So are people born into a certain way, or are you socialised into a certain way? So it's basically the study of society and people like Marx, Max Weber, stuff like that. And I don't want to get too heavily into sociology, but that particular line of questioning has always interested me. Are you born a certain way, so you can't do anything about it, it's all genetics, or are you socialised? So how you're brought up and those real early years and what company you keep and how you're treated, does that shape who you are? And I'm a firm believer in the second. I do think there's some crossing periods with things, but I'm a firm believer that the second, I suppose the easiest one to be, and I'm not looking to cause any controversy, but is, and one we did when I was doing my A-level, is are homosexual people born that way, or is it something that evolves out of the way they're brought up? And of course, nothing like that is as black and white and that, so I don't want to start you said this. I'm just saying that's the sort of example of things that can be looked at. So I had it's difficult to say a tough upbringing, because it's, you know, there's people who have tough upbringings living in the streets and didn't have food, but I had a bad time with my old man, and he basically made me believe that I couldn't do anything. So whatever I did good at, he told me I was shit at it. Didn't matter what it was. Fortunately, I had my mum being very supportive. But as a little kid, you look up to, you know, he basically told you, you'll never be able to do that. You'll never do that. You'll never do that. You'll never win that. You'll never be able to do this. You'll never make anything of yourself. You'll never do this. So for 15, 16 years. And you do start to, when people keep telling you that, there's a fine example of sort of societal study. If somebody does keep telling you can't do something, it is impossible to believe that, you know, to not believe bits of that. And I think that's the same, you know, when people talk about gambling and you're told all the time, well, you can't make money at it, you can't make money at it, you can't make money. That's the sort of narrative that people then go, well, no, I can't make that because they're telling me. So I had that sort of upbringing. So when I did particularly look at going to my job, I quite often revisit this book just because it has some things in it that sort of resonate with me, just through my sort of, I suppose, what my formative years, my teenage, late teens. So I did go back and look at some chapters in that, more to sort of convince myself that what had happened to me wasn't genetic, and it was just battles I was having with the relationship I had with my father. So that was probably the only reading around that time. When I did some goals, which those in 2012 who came to the seminar did, I talked about then, very crude, I suppose. They were all financial. So I did actually sit and do some goals and put them on a laminated card, which is what I've told people to do. Mine, as I say, mine were all financial, you know, get out of debt, pay my mortgage, buy a flash car, holidays, all that sort of stuff. Everything was about money. And I think when I first started this, I was probably very consumed by the money side of it. Because it was new to me. It was new. Having money was new to me. I hadn't had any money, so it all became a bit new to me. You know, being able to win 500 quid in a football match and things, it just, wow, this is unbelievable. And I was probably reckless with it in the first couple of years. You know, I was, again, 20-odd years ago, or 15, 16 years ago, I was in my 30s. But the first proper book I read, Andrew, to answer your question, the first proper book I read about sort of self-help, if you like. And I do realise these self-help books, you know, people have reviewed, a lot of them are bunkum. But again, I'll go back, my mum had something good to say. She said, even the biggest fucking idiot has got something worth listening to at some time. And I think with these sort of books, you take out of them what you take out of them. It's like all of them. If you're not going to act on anything, they're all bunkum. But some of them are a load of old hogwash, but there might be one line in it that you think, I can resonate with that. That's me, or I could do that. And the first one of those that I read was Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, which is by S. Covey, I think. Covey. You'd have thought I'd have got this up, wouldn't you? I'm going to get it up now. That was the first book I, I read Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. There it is. It is by Stephen R. Covey. That's it, yeah. So I think this is on... you can tell I do my work, can't you? I think this is on the website. I think Dave put a resources page on the FTS website with the books that we talked about in lockdown. I must have talked about this one. I'd be amazed if I didn't. But that was the first one of those books that I read. And I didn't read it for any other reason than it was recommended to me. As a lot of these books are, I recommend books on here and people go and read them. And my only real goal at that time was to develop a mindset or mindset change to take this up and scale it up to a level. And I'm talking betting-wise, I'm not talking anything to do with... And you know, there was no plan to have a website and things, but the betting side, and actually, you know, scale it up and look at what successful people do. And it was one that somebody had recommended to me and said that this is the book that you want to read, and that's what I did. And that book, I think a lot of people read it. It's been around for quite a while. So yeah, that was basically the first book that I read. It's of that effect, which is The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. So that's that one, Andrew. That's question one. Took a long time to answer question one. He then says, if I was starting out again now, out of all the books I've read since that first one, what would I choose to be my first one and why? And I would probably say The Slight Edge. I liked The Slight Edge. It was put up to me by an FTS member, Dan Williams, put me onto The Slight Edge. I've got a criticism of it. It uses the phrase slight edge far too much. It's far too repetitive. He loves saying the slight edge, like a bit of a mantra. But the actual sort of operation of how it does things, again, I quite like. I think people try and take too big a leap into things, and as a such of taking too big a leap, they then fail, and then they fail. When they fail, they then give up. And what I like about The Slight Edge, it's sort of incremental steps. So breaking things down where you want to be into smaller parts, then working on those small parts and bringing them all together as a whole. And I think when you do that and you break things into little chunks, you know, and just take something like the summer school, similar sort of approach. Right, we're not going to do anything, we're just going to do one thing, and we're going to do it every day for 100 days. We're not going to try and conquer the world. Let's just learn to do stuff like that. So I think now I sort of say to people, read The Slight Edge. But, you know, it's, again, I get it. People have got back to me on that and said they didn't like it, and I understand why, because it is quite repetitious. But for me, again, I think, as I say, with these things, there's so many of these books out there now, it's finding one that you resonate with and you buy into and go, yeah, that's what I can do that. And I think that's the key to it. You know, as I say, you can read whatever you like, but if you're not going to buy into it and commit to something, it all becomes a bit pointless anyway. And I think that's, you know, and that's proven with diets and whatever. We're not just talking betting. You know, you've got to actually buy into something. And ultimately you say, and I'm again a great believer in this, that if you want to change something, you've got to change it. You know, I can't change things for people. And I can talk to people about stuff and I can nudge them along and this, that and the other. And Dave does it with me. You know, what we sort of have accountability partners. I do it with Alistair. You know, we have these things where people in effect report to me, if you like, and we'll say, right, have you done this, have you done that, are you doing that, why have you done that, you know, Scott, have you placed any bets you shouldn't have placed? Just don't need to now ask him, but every now and then he'll just tell me, I still haven't placed a bet I shouldn't have placed. So, you know, it'd be coming up a year for him, which is fantastic, because I know for a fact, irrespective of what sort of year he's had, he's probably saved himself a couple of grand. So just little things like that. I think if I was anybody now asks me, I do sort of tend to lead them to The Slight Edge. But there's a lot of good books out there. I mean, one that Dave really likes, which is a good book, is Brian Tracy Goals. I think Goals and Goal Setting. And I now look at that in a lot broader term. You know, I've been doing it now. I've been revisiting my goals now. I've actually found it quite difficult because you're at a different stage in life, and money's not so much of a big issue. I'm a machine health-wise, so that's not a big issue. So you actually look at and go, what do I want the next 10 years to be like? What are my goals for the next 10 years? Because as you achieve things, you set new ones. And I've got some. I've got some that sort of bubbling, but that sort of whole thing, you know, looking at goals in a different way of wealth, rather than just wealth, but wealth, fun, health, relationships, all that sort of widening out of them. So Brian Tracy goals, and Dave, you know, that's Dave for Dave, that's like a Bible, recommends that one to people. So, you know, I think any book is you're looking at. One, I read some just for interest, but it's what are you actually reading it for? What do you want to get out of it? And are you actually really committed to doing that? Because if you're not, it's a waste of time. So for me, the slight edge, but that would be number two. So if I was doing it now, Andy, I'm making a commitment. It would be the slight edge. And I like the fact that you can sort of break tasks down and do things small, and then they all add up, and whatever it may be, to being more successful or getting you to where you want to be. He then says, if you could only recommend one book, what would it be and why? And he doesn't say whether this is meant to be a self-help book or, and I could have gone back and asked him, but I haven't. Because I just thought last night, I'm going to answer Andy's email tomorrow. I'll do it on the pod. If you could only recommend one book, what would it be and why? It's a bit like asking somebody their favourite movie. So it would be Spurs Annual 1981. There you are, after we'd won the cup final. There you go, Andy. Just because that was probably my greatest football memory. Just as a young kid watching Ricky Villa score that goal. And my first taste of Tottenham winning a trophy, and the fact it was the FA Cup, which, you know, still to me, I think the FA Cup's a great competition. I think it's an absolute tragedy what they've done to it. But it was just, you know, those of you my age, you know, somebody put a picture up of the Man U Arsenal final 1979. The first one I can remember watching fully is 77, and that, it was a day. The FA Cup in our house was a day, 77. Was it Liverpool Man U 77? 78. Arsenal Ipswich 79. United Arsenal 80. West Ham Arsenal 81. Tottenham City 82. Tottenham QPR. It was a day. You sat down at 10 in the morning. They used to have the coaches at the hotels. It was just fantastic, the FA Cup final. Yeah, it's just another match on a 5 o'clock on a Saturday in May. It's a real shame what it's become. Spurs Annual 1981. But no, if we're talking my favourite book is Catch 22. It's the best novel ever written. Love it, absolutely. I think it's brilliant. If you haven't read it, read it. Second to that, Andrew, and I've put this book onto you, is American Kingpin. I've read it 3 times. I've audibled it twice. I've watched the movie. I can get a bit OCD with things. I became obsessed with that story. I was all the documentaries that I could find, I watched, reading, you know, further info on it, trying to find the police reports and everything. I went right into it. Absolutely brilliant. American Kingpin. Love it. So Catch 22 would be my number one, very closely followed by American Kingpin. I just think it's a fantastic book, fantastic story. But then if you wanted to go into, and the Bond books. The Bond books are really good as well. I really like the original Ian Fleming Bond books. Again, a shame when people are fucking waxing lyrical about that latest movie. I suggest you go back and read some of the Bond books and see what they're making that into, because it's bollocks. But if you wanted one into setting goals and who you are and what you all that, then again, I'd probably go Slight Edge, Brian Tracy's goals, stuff like that. you know, Peter put that book up after our pod last week, Predictably Irrational. Really interesting, but I've read it again since he put it up. I've read it over the last few days again as my sort of nighttime reading, because you forget things. Just a fantastic book. And what I would say with all these books, not so much Catch-22 and Kingpin and things, you know, the fictional books, but when you're reading these, is take notes, because you do forget things, and it's good to have just a little note, you know. And I've gone back through Predictably Irrational and taken some notes and had a scan. A really, really good book. But that, again, depends whether that side of things interests you and what you want to go down to. I think if you just wanted some general, I actually want to change my life, and we're obviously coming to that period, January the 1st, where everyone will make a load of nonsense about resolutions and not stick to them, you know, going to lose weight, and then they're fucking shoving their face on the 10th of January. Stop fucking eating. That's the fucking way to lose weight, I keep telling you. But things like The Slight Edge, Brian Tracy Goals might be a good read for people now going into the new year to set some goals for 2022 even. So there, Andrew, I hope I've answered that. So the first one was my sociology textbook, because that topic interests me. But first proper book I read was Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey. Now, if people ask me, I do tend to point them towards The Slight Edge, just because I think it's a book everybody can apply. And my favourite book of all time is Catch-22. Love it. And then American Kingpin. But if you were going into stuff to you know, Slight Edge, Brian Tracy Goals, stuff like that, then I'd highly recommend them. And Predictably Irrational is just a good read. It's just really interesting. Again, it's more about how people behave, which is the sort of stuff I like. I love the topic of what makes people tick. I love why people do things, and getting into that. I really like, I like watching people, you know. So I just love watching how people behave in all sorts of settings. I did it last week before I got pissed when I was out. You just watch people in pubs and watch how they behave and things. It's alpha males and stuff like that, just really interesting to watch. Or for me, I just like that sort of stuff. So there you go, Andrew. I've hopefully answered your email. Apologies, it took 3 months. I love stuff like that, so if anybody wants to drop in, you know, I keep saying to you guys, yes, I'm busy, but there's time, you know. Yes, it might take me 2-3 months, but we get to it in the end. You know, stuff like Zooms, Christmas parties and that, if you don't tell me, then I'm not going to do them. But with things like that, see, I've just kept that on ice and turned it into a nice little, 20-minute pod, see? Beautiful. But thank you for the answer. Thank you for the email, Andrew, and apologies for the length of time. But I know you're enjoying American Kingpin. Absolute brilliant book, honestly, fantastic. Catch-22, American Kingpin. My boy, I talked about Catch-22 so much when he was younger, you know, when he did English literature and they'd given a book, and I just kept saying to him, you've got to read Catch-22, and he almost sort of that fight back thing, that because I kept telling him to read it, he wouldn't read it. And I was similar with Shawshank. He kept saying, oh, that movie. I said, I can't take you seriously on movies till you've watched Shawshank. I'm not listening to you. He turned E.T. off, my boy. Turned E.T. off, said it was shit. But two things he's done in the last 3 or 4 years is read Catch-22 and watch Shawshank. Shawshank, he says, it's the best movie he's ever seen. And Catch-22, he says, what a fantastic book. So there you go. Right, where are we? Advent. FTS Advent. I mean, you're just taking the mickey now. I'm trying to, as I said, the whole thing was, I think you've all ganged up on me thinking if we win it, we're just going to make sure he does a grand. I mean, John Crowther has sent me a text. I wake up this morning, walk the dog, phone Bibbs, John Crowther. Now then, everything is now then. Now then, mate, I will have your £55 stressing that it's mine. I will have your £55 on the mighty Tigers to beat Forest. Cheers. Hull to beat Forest away. Gone, innit? Done. You are on at 4.1, John. Thanks ever so much. I'm still waiting for Kerry Blaber to read her form and give her one, but everybody else is in now. As I say, we've just got outstanding ones. That's on Saturday, John. Best of luck. I'm almost tempted to say if that wins, I'll get a job. Right, so today we're playing... What were we doing yesterday? No, yesterday we were playing for £65. And what was the question? What was the question yesterday? What Christmas song? That's it, because we had Kevin Kelly moaning about Christmas song. Absolutely pathetic, man. You stand there singing about fucking blowing and popping bubbles, bursting bubbles and all that shit, and you don't like a good bit of Christmas cheer. You need to have a look at your fucking life choices, son, honestly. What Christmas song was the first song broadcast from space? It was, of course, Jingle Bells. I could do a rendition. They jingle all the way. And the winner, you did make me laugh. Old Benjamin made me laugh yesterday. They've been on their penalty thing, and he said when he put his answer in that surely someone from Middle Earth has got to win this. And they do make me laugh, that Middle Earth lot. They really do. They're just the one little threads they get going that just make me chuckle. The way they interact between themselves. But yeah, he basically was saying that the flipping draw's fixed because nobody from Middle Earth. Is it rigged against us? Surely Middle Earth have to win one of these, or is it rigged against us? Somebody moaned about the rattling of my mouse going up and down. It's because I'm trying to find tweets and things. I don't get set up. There's no production to this, see? If I had a studio, I'd have a producer give me a bit of paper and say, read this bit next. I have to find it. Surely Middle Earth have to win one of these, or is it rigged against us like the football matches over the weekend? Get over it. But, funnily enough, today it is going to Middle Earth. Yesterday's price is going to Middle Earth, but it's not you, Benjamin. I think it's Middle Earth, I haven't looked this up. I could make myself look stupid yesterday. We talked about football yesterday. Actually, help me, just before I announced the winner yesterday, talking about Dele Alli going on loan, and I said Birmingham, and then went into Villa. I said that's about his level now, having a bit of banter back. And Graham, who's a Birmingham fan, put Ali Osman is more our level. So I'm spent, Graham, and this will make you laugh because you're a decent lad, and I know you'll chuckle at this. I spent 5 minutes trying to find footballer Ali Osman because I didn't know who he was. There's no fucking footballer. It's a character out of EastEnders, you fucking weapon. So wasted 5 minutes of my life trying to find a fucking footballer called Ali Osman. I thought, I don't know who that is. And I see now you've put Ozcabs, which meant nothing to me, next to it. It's a fucking EastEnders. Leave me out. But you are. I know you're laughing at me. But the winner is, and he's obviously very proud of where he comes from. The winner yesterday was Paul Retford. Paul from Retford. His Twitter handle is Paul from Retford, at Retford Paul. Where are you from, Paul? And I think Retford is Middle Earth. I think Retford's Nottingham Way, isn't it? I haven't looked it up. If it's up further north, I apologise. But I've got a sneaky feeling it's around Nottingham. I don't go into the ins and outs of winners. But it was Paul from Retford. Retford Paul. Where are you from, Paul? I'm Retford. I didn't know whether your surname was Retford. But I've just typed in the sheet and I've put Paul Retford. You're not. You're Paul from Retford. Do you introduce yourself at the pub? Hello, mate. What's your name? I'm Paul from Retford. Or Retford. You can call me Retford Paul. Obviously very proud. Is Retford a nice place, Paul? Let me know. When you let me have your bet, give me a bit of history of Retford, because I know absolutely nothing about the place. I've got a sneaky feeling it's round about Nottingham Way with where Chrissy spreadsheets in around that area. Today's. So, Retford Paul, you have won. I'm going to laugh at that all day. I don't know why. Paul from Retford, you have won £65 if you can send me a bet in the next 7 days. We're now playing. It's day 14. We're playing for 70 quid. So, Kevin Kelly's sick of music questions, so I'll give you a maths question, Kevin. Here you are. We've got a bit of maths now. So, numerical answer. Right, in the Premier League games this week, there were 9 Premier League games because one got postponed owing to COVID. Lovely. See, United's off now. The bloke put that Spurs thought they were being clever postponing the game. Well, we weren't, were we? It's fucking COVID, you absolute muppet. A bloke on Twitter, a journalist there, Spurs thought they weren't being clever. It may well see us kicked out of that group. You think Levy was going to give away, what, $500,000 match day revenue, and they just thought, oh yeah, we'll do it for a laugh. Fucking idiot. I don't want to be in the comp, but certainly Daniel Levy does for whatever money it brings in. Absolute fucking idiot. He's not listening, the bloke. I'm just talking to myself now, but he doesn't even know I am. But putting clever United. But United have been clever and got their game postponed this evening. But right, there were nine games in the Premier League this week. The goals were, per game, you need a pen to write this down. It's on the spreadsheet. If you go to the Advent Calendar Google Doc, I'll post the link. It has been on Twitter, but I'll post it again. They were 4-0, 4-1, 5-1, 3-1-3. So you need to write that down. 4-0, 4-1, 5-1, 3-1-3. That was the total goals in Premier League games this weekend. What's the median? What's the median of those? So 4-0, 4-1, 5-1, 3-1, 3. What's the median of the goals per game in the Premier League this year? This weekend. Gone. Done. Really simple. See if you can do it without Google. Go on. Be proud of yourselves. Think. Get back. Everybody did that at school. Every single person, not having it, you said you didn't. Every single person did that at school. Mode, medians, you did it. Right, that's it. We're done. I've got to do an ultimate process for the midweek football. Have a lovely day, especially you, Paul, from Retford. I hope Retford's nice this morning. And I'll be back with you all tomorrow. Tomorrow and Thursday, just for a quick one to cover Advent, and then we'll be into the weekend football. Then it's one weekend till Christmas. I'm still open to having a Christmas party Saturday afternoon. I had one taker, so I don't think it would be much of a party, just me and him. As much as I like your demo, but if people do want me to, let me know, because I would need to get organised. It's not like I can just say, oh, let's do that. I do need some form of organisation depending on the volume of football. Right, have a lovely Tuesday, and I'll speak to you all tomorrow.